Not only are we talking about a current generation of dancers, we're also talking about the next generation.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
All right, you guys, welcome on in to The Point with Kristen Burt. I am so excited today because it's already been a party before we even started. And as I mentioned, we have a current generation of dancers and the next generation, Kevin Fry and Josh Price. Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is kind of exciting. You know, and I have to tell you, we talk all the time on this show kind of about making sure that you take the dancers behind you and pull them up with you and mentoring and things like that. Sometimes things that are a lost art form here in the entertainment industry. And I love that we're going to be talking about that today.
I love it too. Yeah. Mentorship. That's the right word.
It really is the right word, honestly. And it's really the way to sort of guide and shape the next generation. And I'm sure for you, you've seen a lot of...
Yeah, I've been going through it.
Yeah, you've been going through it. So, you know, but we like to always start back to the beginning. So, you know, for both of you guys, how did you start dancing, Kevin? Because I think you were a young dancer, if I correct. You're not one of those that started at like 21 or anything.
No, I definitely... I mean, I tell everybody I started dancing when I got out of the womb, but I first got into class at 10 years old.
Okay, yeah. That's good. And you were someone that was cross-trained?
Yes. Yes. So I danced at a competition studio, so I went in for hip-hop because I wanted to be a little Justin Timberlake. I wanted to be on NSYNC. That did not happen. But when I went in, they were like, okay, we have to take all these other styles. And I was like, okay, sure. And then my mom signed me up for everything, and so I did that competition studio, and then I grew up in San Diego, California, and so there was a big hip-hop dance community down there.
Yes, and still is.
It still is. And so after doing studio stuff for a long time, I really fell in love with that community and really just went full force into it. I danced for a youth group called Flipside, Formality. I danced with Choreo Cookies back in the day.
Choreo Cookies. I just saw them at World of Dance.
Really?
And they were at the LA Convention Center when World of Dance was here.
Amazing,
so.
Yeah. And I danced back when we were literally were all neighbors. We lived down the street from each other, and we danced in somebody's garage.
Was Keone and Mari in it at the time?
When I was there, no, but I danced with Keone back on Future Shock, and then we've danced together because we grew up together in San Diego.
Wow. Yeah, so it's a really small... It really is a small community. That's crazy, because I remember we've had Keone and Mari here in the studio, and they talked a lot about Choreo Cookies and how it really sort of shaped their careers. How about for you, Josh? You're still young. How old are you at this point?
I'm 15.
You're 15! But we've seen you on a couple of TV shows in the past couple years, so you've kind of grown up before our eyes. When did you start dancing?
I started dancing about like 7. I think I was like 7 years old, and I trained at this studio called Icon Dance Complex because I'm originally from New Jersey. And you know the Iconic Boys from America's Best Dance Crew?
Yes.
That was kind of like my upbringing. That was like my first dance group. And I just really like molded me into like a really good, like, it molded me being like clean, because that was like a really hard struggle I had. Mm-hmm. Still kind of up there, but that really like helped me like be where I am right now. And coming out to LA at like 13, I think I was like 13 when I moved out here, it just really, really like helped me.
Now, did you move for your career? Because this is always an interesting topic. When do you move? Do you not move?
That choice you gotta
make. Yeah, it's a really hard choice.
Yeah, I've always told my mom, I was like, we're moving out to LA like tomorrow. I've said that for like a good 2 years, like, and she was like no, and like. One time she was like, yeah, let's try it. And then we moved out to LA for like 3 months. And then we were like, things were like going well. So we were like, you know, let's just stay for like a little bit longer. And then it ended up being 4 years. And
you're
today,
still here.
Still here. Yeah.
Mom, are you moving back at all? Or are you staying here for a while? She's just staying put.
Yeah.
Okay, this
yeah,
is good.
Yeah.
You know what happens too? I'm from Boston. So once you move out of snow for a little while, you're like, we're kind of good out here.
Yeah, right? It stays pretty, you know, it stays around
temperate,
72.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
It is good. Now for you, since you started out sort of in hip hop, are you cross-trained? Because this seems to be a big debate now. Like, are you taking a ballet class here or there? Are you taking jazz? What, contemporary?
I definitely have. It's my studio was more of like a hip hop studio growing up. So when we had our like boys jazz classes, I was like kind of the one that was like into it more, and everyone else was like chilling and like not doing their thing. But I always loved it. It was hard for me to get into it because all of my big brothers and inspirations were like not doing it, and I was trying to like follow in their footsteps. But coming out here and like realizing that you like it's really helpful for you to be, I have been getting into it more, and Kevin's, you know, correcting me and like telling me to pull my feet when I'm slacking.
Are you taking a ballet class? I think is what she asked.
Are you taking a ballet class?
What's your answer?
I've taken like Yeah, I've taken a couple ballet classes. It's just hard for me. I can watch it. It's just with the terms. Like, because I walked in this class and they would just say the terms, and I was like, okay, but I'm really good at following and picking up, though.
Yeah, you're good with choreography, obviously. And it is just learning, like, all of, like, you're like, coupe, quasi,
I still don't know 75% of the terms, and like all of a sudden you get refreshed and you're like, oh yeah, that was
that's
it.
That's right. You know the tendu, but then you're like, okay, wait, this is getting a little bit more complex. Are you encouraging him obviously to take
him and all the other dancers that we work with at the Pulse? Because for me, I've trained in all these styles, and it's what's helped me not just being an amazing dancer but also a choreographer and be able to just do everything and have the knowledge and be able to create. And it's like I always tell them, it's when I create, it's like having all these different canvas. It's like having one canvas, but having different colors to paint with. Mm-hmm. If you're just one style, then it's like,
You're going to have more opportunities for your career if you can do other things. Here's what I want to know, too, because I see this quite a bit. Like, kids are now in tumbling and gymnastics because you need to have those tricks. Mm-hmm. That would have been, like, the end of me. Besides hip-hop, then having to do sort of gymnastics on top of that other than a cartwheel, I would have been out of the game, I think.
Yeah.
Are you seeing kids taking the gymnastics and the tumbling classes?
I do. Well, kids can do so many crazy tricks now.
Yeah.
And it's almost like... it's like a requirement now.
Right.
Because it's like, okay, everyone can do fast choreography, detailed. They can all really perform now. So now people are like, okay, well, how do I separate myself? And people are like, let me do these crazy tricks. Yeah. And so people are getting into b-boy and all that stuff, and breakdancing and just all these different other various styles that helps them separate from, the pack. Because everyone's amazing now.
Yeah, do you have some good tricks?
Yeah, I took a lot of, gymnastic classes. But I'm trying to get more into, dance hall now. Because while everyone's flipping, I'm trying to stay in this African vibe.
Dance hall. Yeah. You know, they brought it in once on So You Think You Can Dance. Actually, during the Next Generation season, they did one, I think, and it was Tahani Anderson with Comfort. And I was like, why aren't we doing this more often? Just because it's great exposure to just understanding all different variations of dance and where they come from and everything else is so interesting.
There's so many styles still that
that don't get the exposure.
Yeah, that we don't know about. Yeah. It's just crazy.
Yeah, and especially on a dance show, oftentimes it's just kind of a big lumped in, this is hip hop, which is a really big, wide generic term of what it is. And I was like, that's kind of it's a culture, it's a lifestyle, and then there's styles within all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes that gets lost a little bit.
But totally.
Here's what I want to ask about classes for both of you. This has been a hot topic. You probably know where I'm going on this.
I'm excited.
I'm ready. A little controversial, but I think that there's valid points on both sides. All these amazing classes that are taped now when we see them on Instagram. And then sometimes people are saying, well, we're losing some of the technique aspects of it because people aren't going in there just to learn and focus in on that aspect. How do you feel?
Well, I'm excited to hear his answer because obviously we're from different generations.
Yes.
And I agree. I think there's valid points on both sides. Where I come from is when I was really training, 2 o'clock to 10 o'clock at night every single day when I was growing up, there weren't any cameras in class.
That's right.
And when I started to go out professionally and started working, I didn't need a class with a camera in it to tell me how to perform to a camera. Mm-hmm. I just knew. I knew it was time to perform.
You feel it from inside.
Yeah. And honestly, if you don't, it takes one time where you either see a bad photo or a video of yourself making a crazy face, and then you fix it. At least if you want to actually have a long-standing career here. So I hear a lot of sometimes people saying, oh, well, we need it to be able to, do these jobs in front of cameras. And my argument is the dancer that I am and the dancers that I know, they didn't need that. The dancers, even just watching when I was growing up, they didn't need a class with a camera in it. They just figured it out. Now, with that said, I do think it's a great tool that we can utilize. I do think it's a little bit I think it's being abused a little bit. I think we use that excuse there's too many classes where there's too many cameras, and I don't think the intention is to actually teach them how to work in front of a camera. I think it's more for selfish reasons and self-promotion.
Sure.
So, and that's where I have a problem with it. If it's going to be a training opportunity and utilize that as, then it needs to be utilized for what it is. But I do feel like people use it as an excuse to just use it as self-promotion and use other people for their gain.
Yes.
So that's where I have a problem with it. But again, it has produced a generation of dancers that know how to perform. When it's 3-2-1 and those groups come out, they know how to kill it. Now, so So yeah.
So it is, and like I said, I'm like, there are some great benefits to it, but there are times maybe when you need to just focus and be in class.
For me in life and everything, it all goes down to intention. If your intention is pure and you want to teach a class that is really about giving them an opportunity to dance in front of a camera to better their career, and it's about them, which is what a classroom should be. It should be about the students and not the teacher. Then I fully support it. They're just 90% of the time here in LA, it's not about the students, it's about the teacher.
You know what makes me think too? There's a lot of acting classes, and some of them are scene study and everything else. And then there are also very specific, like, acting on camera classes. And I wonder if we need to start maybe working on that. And that way you're like, this is a dance on camera class. We're going to show you, like, if there's a steady cam or if there's, you know, a stationary cam, like, what do you need to do to hit your mark and everything else? And hit that moment and have it. But I want to hear from you because this is your generation and you guys have grown up with technology in the way some of us haven't.
I think that, hey, I don't even know how to go into it. I think
it's okay. Like, we are open to your opinion. Exactly. So just,
I'd say, I think of it as more of like a, like for memory, for me at least. Like, oh, I remember this class. It was such a great time. That's what I think of it as. I don't think of it as like, oh, like, I'm practicing for, like, to perform or whatever. Because I also know, like, how to separate it. Like, if I'm going to go to Millennium, I know that I'm going to be, like, filmed. But if I can go to, like, ML or, like, Debbie's, then I know I'm just going to, like, get, like, really good, like, not that I'm getting bad training, but I'm just going to, like, I can channel into, like, who I actually am instead of trying to, like, force, like, to be great. I can just, like, I can mess up and be, like, okay with it and not, like,
it's a more of a learning environment, I think, in a different way, in a pure technique way. And I was like, that actually is a good point. Maybe you go to a different studio when you're just like, right now I need to focus in on this technique or this style. And then, you know what? I really want to kind of have fun in class and just go all out in terms of and do the camera thing and share with people what I'm doing.
I'm definitely not like on the other side where I feel like camera should be taken away. They are such a vital tool. And it, again, it's produced such great dancers in this generation. I think the reason why it's a hot topic is because people have used it as an excuse for their selfish intentions.
Sure.
And because if you go into a class and the intention is pure and it's about the student, I guarantee you no one's going to have an issue in that class because we can all sense the intention. Yep. Now, if people don't have that intention, that's when people start complaining. There's negativity. People have issues. And I think it just goes down to it should be about the students always.
Yep.
In a classroom.
Any classroom should be. Yeah, exactly. That's amazing. Now, how long have you two known each other?
Has it been like almost a year?
I mean, working together. Oh, yeah, but
But if you've known him since he was itty bitty.
Yeah, me too.
This is our first year working together, you know, within the Pulse.
We both did Pulse together. Like, I was just like 5 and like you were like 18 probably.
Probably, yeah. And we, assisting, like, man.
Yeah, exactly. See, already assisting.
So you almost have like, you have a decade of at least being aware of each other.
Totally, yeah.
Which is incredible. Well, tell us about the Pulse because there's so many different conventions and competitions and things like that. And I think it's really important to sort of define what makes Pulse different from everybody else. Yeah.
The Pulse? Is that what you asked?
The Pulse, yes. Let's talk about the Pulse.
Oh, exactly. No, the Pulse dance experience is unlike any convention that's out there right now. Every convention has amazing faculty, you know, they have, and everyone kind of has their little niche. And I think what Pulse is about is really industry-based. Our goal is to get people out in the industry working. And also, which is a new thing that we're starting to introduce into, you know, just the company as a whole, is that we want to give an experience. We don't want to just give – that's why the name is Pulse Dance Experience Plug. That's why it's not just about, oh, you learned some choreography and you got to work with these choreographers and hopefully they'll book you one day. Right. It's really about giving them life tools that they can take with them, not only in their dance career but in their life. Because, you know, the truth is not everyone that goes to these conventions is going to either pursue working as a dancer or even make it as a career. So what can we give them that they can take away with for the rest of their life, whether they want to be a doctor, a lawyer, they want to direct movies, they want anything they can do.
Be a dance reporter.
Exactly.
Which is so random, but I mean, I danced and I came full circle back. There are other opportunities.
Yeah, and so it's more than just these combos. It's every teacher, every faculty member that is there is so invested in giving this experience in each one of their classes. And we also do other seminars and like Lane does an acting workshop, like a full on acting workshop.
That's good. That's really
nice. And he's like, he's New York down and he gives his expertise. Katie Tate does a whole seminar on like body image and which is so prevalent, you know.
Oh, in the dance industry?
Exactly.
Please.
You know, there's, you know, it's funny, it's mental hairness.
Mental health awareness month.
And there's been some things going on in the dance community this month that have been kind of, you know, an issue. And it was funny that happened to be this month that it's all falling on. But mental health with dancers is something that I think should be really addressed. And there should be way more programs out there, because what we do in this industry is so hard, even for the strongest of us and mentally strong of us. So to come into this industry, because what we have to do is be vulnerable. Every time, every audition, they're like, oh, you know, if you want to make it, you have to give them your heart. And unfortunately, a lot of times you're going to get a no. And so it's like getting your heart stabbed a little bit or sliced a little bit every single time.
And then self-doubt creeps in and you're like, how do you build yourself
back up? Exactly. And then, you know, we're in such a commercial industry where it's about looks and body. And then you go and then you're so confused. You leave the audition, it got cut. Was it because they didn't like my dancing? Was it my look? And then you don't get these answers. And then a lot of times people don't have any resources to look out to. So, sorry, I totally went off on mental health. But I do think it's such a topic that we as dancers need to address within ourselves first and then address as the community. Because I know I've had conversations with so many dancers, and it's so funny because it's happening to everybody. Whether you think they're on top of their career, it doesn't matter. The career or the success doesn't provide happiness, at least real happiness. It comes from within.
Yes, I had Carrington Payne in here a few weeks ago, and she was on season 4, So You Think You Can Dance. Had tremendous success with Fame and everything else. Fell into depression and drug addiction and everything else. And she's sober now, and you know she's making her way out of this. But she didn't have the tools or the support system to really go, I'm struggling. I don't really know how to handle all of this. And things on the outside, she's like, I had a great apartment, a great car. My career was going well. And, you know, but you can still be depressed, you know?
Exactly. Because those things are all superficial at the end of the day. So, and I always say happiness comes from within.
Yes.
You know, all this that I'm doing, at least in my life, I can lose it all tomorrow and I'd still be happy. And that's the goal everyone should aspire to get to. And be okay with reaching out.
Yeah.
We're all going through it. And we get so lost in our individual bubble because we're all here trying to succeed. And it's, you know, dog eat dog. And then we're like, oh, I don't want to speak. And then we look on social media and you already feel depressed. And you hop on Insta story and you're like, oh, this person booked this job. This person's doing this. Oh, their life's amazing because we're seeing the highlight reel. And then you sink deeper and deeper into your hole because you feel alone.
And their perfect relationship and their perfect hair and their it's everything. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with this? I mean, because this is like, I didn't grow up with social media. And I think, wow, this is like it's a different pressure. And sometimes you just have to like push it aside sometimes, but I find it's hard not to be on my phone all the time as an adult.
It is. I think with me, I have this like, it's kind of a rule that I'm trying to make, but once I'm like outside, like my house, I kind of like not like to be on my phone unless I'm like playing music or something like that, because it really helps you like get away from society and like, because we all need that. We all need like a breath of fresh air and we all need to like just like put your phone down. That's why I'm happy my phone's like shutting off randomly. Because
the battery's dying, but it's good like actually. Don't upgrade. Like,
exactly. So it really helps with that, because you only see on Instagram like what people want you to see. Like you don't see like, oh, well, sometimes some people like to go in like deeper, but like a lot of times personal it's just choice. Like, yeah, I'm booked a job, or like I got a new car.
Yeah.
I don't know, I got married, or it's just stuff like that. But like you don't see the inside part. Like we got in a fight the day before I posted that we got married, or like you don't see.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. When people sell their marriages or relationships too much, I'm like, it's not always that great. Like there's good days and there's bad days, of course. Like we all have them.
Yeah. But like the thing with Pulse though is like it's really hard to find friends. It's really like true friends, and I think I've found like half of my friends through Pulse.
Oh, I love that.
Like, it's just, and it's like, we're still friends to this day. Like, I might not see them because we live in different parts, but like, once we reunite, like, it feels like we never left.
That's so good.
And like,
love that. Your dance friends will always be different than like your regular school friends or anything else like that, too.
They don't understand, like, the regular friends. Right. That's what so made Pulse so cool, because everyone was on the same page. Like, we all want the same goal.
Yes.
That's what was like the best. Like, there was this group, like, of my, like, small friends that we had, and like we would be like the kids who like can only do like hip hop kind of, and like we would always just like hang in this one corner and just like wait for like that hip hop class to come out. We would still like kill it in Brian's, but like we would just be like so excited.
Brian
like,
Friedman, I
yeah, for sure.
Since you're throwing out names, I'm like, I'm just gonna guess that's Brian Friedman. Uh-huh. I'll just throw it out there.
Yeah, great, the legend.
Yes, the legend. Take his heels class. Mm-hmm. you are an elite protege. Can you explain what that means? Because this is a big deal, though.
Oh, no, it is. And totally, I went on a full circle talking about mental health.
This is important, though. This is important stuff in the dance industry. There's nothing wrong with going off topic.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, to bring it back, though, the Elite Protege Program and also the Elite Counselor Program in Camp Pulse. So basically, sorry, let me say that clearly. Elite Protege Program is part of Pulse. Camp Pulse has the Lead Counselor Program. And so basically they're both the same kind of program. One is directed by Nancy O'Meara, and this year, which you're hearing it first, the Protege Program, the Protege Program is going to be directed by me.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So did you know this?
Nobody knows it. I just had a phone call that I was like, is it okay if I can say this? And like, yeah, I was like, great. But basically the program is this unparalleled program that even when I was just assisting, I would see these dancers go in. It was started from Brian Friedman originated this program, and he created something even so great that I don't even think he knew what it was when he created it. It was something so amazing that it is still just lived on to this day. And so I'm excited to take on the torch and put my own spin on it and add, you know, different elements. But basically it trains these dancers to not only just to assist our choreographers, but to go out and to work in this industry and to be people who want to be worked with. Because that's also an important thing. We're always big on how they act, how they present themselves, how they present the company, how they represent us as teachers. Yes. You know, when they leave this program and I hear, if I happen to hear bad things about any one of them, they know they're going to get a text or they're going to get a long email from me.
How to be a role model. I think that's super important. Because it is, it's a very small community. And I always say, like, when I start hearing people are rehearsing poorly or having a bad attitude, when it gets back to me, you're in trouble. Because I'm like at the outer layer of the dance community. I'm covering all of you guys. So when people start talking about the same person over and over, I'm like, oh gosh, that's a problem. And so you want to make sure that you're raising leaders for the next generation.
Absolutely. I think that's the best way to put it, leaders. But yeah, so the program, basically, they not only assist us on stage. I think people always like, oh, they're just assisting. They get these long emails from me every weekend.
They're like your parents for the year.
What are some of the things that they email? Give us some highlights. But I want to hear it from your point of view.
So I'll never forget. It was after our first city, and like we just took Kevin's class, and everything was going well. We were like getting to like know each other well, and like the next day after it was over, we were like, okay, Kevin's notes for the weekend. We were like oh, we're about. I was just so stressed out. I was like, he's about to just like, yell at me and everything. But it wasn't bad. It was just like just helpful notes that like to think about when you're on stage because we didn't know what we were getting into.
Right.
And it really helped us now as, like, it's, like, the last city. But, like, we definitely know, like, it's crazy to look back and be like, wow, like, I really was, like, not on my, like, best game because, like, I've worked so hard for this. And, like, you don't want to take that for granted because this is such a great experience.
You have to be on your A game at all times because you are representing. You know, you're supposed to be the best of the best. And how do you represent that? Because people are watching you. That's the thing. You don't think anyone's watching you. People are watching you and looking up to you.
They absolutely are, especially when they get off that stage and they're walking around just, you know, not working, but you are working.
Yeah.
But not, you know, that's when most people that aren't trained, that's when they slip. They're like, oh, well, let's have fun.
Yeah. Like, that's why it's like, as soon as
they
know
when they're there.
As soon as you get off stage, like, even if you're in the elevator with, like, some people who signed up for the weekend, you have to, like, just always be respectful and not, like, goof around with anyone, even if it's, like, your friend. You just have to
drop
like
a swear word, curse word, or anything else like that. Yeah, you can't be rude. Like,
no, they literally represent the company. Yeah. And if people have questions, they need to answer everyone, and they need to know about the company. They need to know about every faculty member, what we're all doing, everything.
What room we're in, like what room is the advanced room? You can't be like, I don't know. Like, you just have to know everything. Like, oh, it's third floor.
Downstairs, on the lobby. How has this helped you in your career? Because, by the way, guys, if you don't know about Josh, I'm going to talk about him for just a second. I was laughing because I was like, did you just say you think Next Generation? Mom goes, top 80. I love that.
Top 80.
That's you guys, right. Number one fan.
I love dance moms. And I don't mean dance moms. I mean, like, real, true dance moms. They all follow me on Twitter and, like, will email me from time to time. I love dance moms. I really do. Aww. So I know, because you guys are like the, you know, you're the lifeline of getting the kids to class and keeping them all together. You're so important.
They're essential.
They are essential. But also, I'm a Beast. Season one, World of Dance. I know you were a little one there. There's I'm a Beast. You're in the junior division. Yeah. But you are doing season two. Season two obviously is taped with S Rank.
Yes.
Now you are in the adult division, correct? You're in upper team.
Upper team.
Yes. And it I'll just say you guys, I heard you guys did great work on the season. Obviously, yes. We can't talk about outcomes or anything else like that. How did you feel like you grew thanks to The Pulse from season one to season two?
It's so crazy. I didn't even like get a chance to like think about all, how it really like changed me as a person, but like it's indescribable for me. Like going like just regular like Pulse really trains you for like the industry. Mm-hmm. Like knowing like from production like how to treat everyone and make sure you always have like a good attitude at all times. Like it's the best. Like I've learned like not just like how to like pick up choreo and like hold myself as a person, but like being good to everyone and that like
how to treat the crew. Yeah. They're the guys that are going to be the best people. Sound, lighting.
Yeah, like you wouldn't even think about it, and like you could talk about someone and not know like the production manager's like right behind you because everyone looks so normal. Like you just have to always be on your, even though I wouldn't talk bad about anyone.
No, but we do. Yeah. We all as humans, we all gossip. Like you try not to get caught up in it, but it's just a natural thing where you're like, "Did you see what just happened?" We all do it. And anyone says that they don't, they're lying.
I agree with that.
We've all done it. Yeah. So, but it is like, how are you presenting yourself on the job, on a TV set, and things like that? Because you don't want like some NBC executive to be like, "We just heard what Josh said about you know."
They really catch you because there was one time where we had to put on mics. And we just had to dance and, like, stretch for, like, a good, like, 2 hours. And, like, you'll forget that the mic's on you, and that's what they want. But, like, we were always, like, no, like just be on it. Because we learned from last season that, like, we all made our mistakes. And, like, some people didn't, like, pick up, like, their wardrobe after they, like, tried it on. And then wardrobe would get pissed off at us. And it was this whole thing. So I learned from next year, like, everyone, like, pick up your clothes and be quick because we're not trying to waste anyone's time. We're trying to make sure everything runs smoothly. And
wardrobe wants you to look good because it's their work out there.
Exactly. And it's their fault if we look bad, which really sucks because it would be our fault too.
And they want to make sure that you can move in it. Like that's when it comes to dance wardrobe too.
Nothing falls off.
So, like, exactly.
It's its own art.
It is its own art, which is kind of amazing. Obviously, Nappy Tabs being creative directors of the show, they've had influence on both of your careers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of nice. You just see two generations of dancers too.
It's good to see a friendly face and like... We're like, hey,
well, they're
like,
the best.
They are.
They're the best human beings. Like,
for sure.
Come on.
What do you guys think? Because I just feel like they have really opened the doors for so many of you, you know, following behind in terms of like thinking bigger than just dancing, just choreographing, just teaching. They're like, you can be a creative director. You can be a creative producer. You can create your own show. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I love about them.
Following their career, I just love to see how they've gone from here to here to here and keep building and keep doing more and more and more, keep pushing themselves to, you know, next ideas, what's the next thing we're going to do with bigger and better. You know, that's inspiring for all of us because a lot of us, I feel like back in the day used to be like, oh, I'm just a dancer.
Yes.
I'm just this, I'm just that. And we're in a day and age where it's like, no, I can be anything. I can be it all and I can do it all at the same time. Like, I'm living testament of that right now. I'm dancing, I'm choreographing, I'm teaching. And there, I feel like there's this mentality that you have to do one.
Or that's one like, at a time, or you have to take
and
it slow.
I'm such a believer. There's no rules. Who made that rule? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't have to live by it.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know what, too? I think people are like, you know, the industry sometimes, like, you have to follow this path. You don't have to follow this path.
No.
And I don't think that I was like, I'm one of the few dance reporters out here. like, I'm just doing it because I love it. And so I don't, you know, and I said the other day on Instagram, I'm like, there's no blueprint for what I'm doing right now. I'm just trying to, like, figure it all out. But
we're all artistic entrepreneurs,
yes.
Listening to the beat of our heart and just going with it. And as long as you do it with the right intention, do it with integrity and work hard for it, then the world's your oyster, in my opinion.
Josh, for you, like seeing what, I know Gaga.
That was when she sang me happy birthday, actually.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Both of us. That's Amanda Balin, who's another Gemini. That was in the Philippines. That was on my first tour with her. I was...
You've done, what, three tours with
Gaga?
Jeez. I get so many dancers in here, and they're like, my dream is to work with an artist and do a world tour. Talk about how big that is, because it's no joke when you go on a world tour.
No.
You look so happy.
Oh, I look so... Look at that.
That's Super Bowl, right? Come on.
Wow.
Super Bowl is another one. That's like bucket list. World tour, bucket list.
I mean, I still was that dancer that's all I wanted to do when I was growing up. I was like, I just want to dance for a major artist. I want to go on a world tour. I want to do music videos and all that stuff. And I've been able to do so much with her. And when I first booked that job, it is too long of a story to talk about here. But when I first got that phone call, I mean, I dropped to my knees. I was crying.
I would bawl my eyes out for that.
Not only is it a major artist and a world tour, it's an artist that I absolutely love. she is my number one artist. And I'm not saying that because I dance for her. I would be saying that whether I was here, there, anywhere.
Had booked the job, not booked the job.
Exactly. She is an amazing, inspiring artist, and it's an honor to dance with her and be a part of that message and the movement and everything. And it is such
very inclusive too, I think, as an artist. And I think that has been really important for, you know, all of us to see, just embracing all of that, because it's just like, you're all welcome, which I love.
I love it too. Same.
All right. Do you have dreams of working with a major artist?
I've worked with him. Well, first was Michael, but you know how that went.
That was mine too.
Yeah. Well,
you know, come on. Has anyone? I mean, I loved Michael Jackson so much.
That's all who I wanted to dance for growing up. And then unfortunately,
Yeah, I mean, such a sad loss. I had Vincent Patterson in here, of course, who worked with him on Thriller and Beat It. You know, he was the assistant choreographer and then went on to do Smooth Criminal directing. And the story is like, I literally sat here across from him and I'm like, if I cry, just know that this is like everything to me right now, because it was so interesting. So just great. It's the closest I can get to Michael right now is through like Vincent Patterson's stories, that kind of thing. So
that's crazy.
Who else would you like to work with?
Chris Brown.
Chris Brown.
I've worked with him before. I really want to go on tour with him. It just seems like, and now I'm kind of too young
dancer.
For that. He's it's just like, it just seems like such a good like energy for me. Like I just always like to like,
because it's got a good groove.
Like he's so entertaining, and that's what I want to be, like entertaining. Just like no matter what it is, like I could be like I hope I'm entertaining people right now, just talking. Like
that's just what, you're entertaining me. We're good.
Okay, so then we're out. Yeah,
all glued in.
We're totally good.
But I changed the topic. But like Michael actually died on my birthday, and like
June 25th, 2009.
Yeah, you
better. Well, I'm not born 2002.
But that was the year, it was your 7th birthday then, yeah?
Yeah. So good at that. Did that so fast. But my mom was telling me how, my neighbor, she called her and was like, did you hear about Michael? And she's like, yeah, like, I heard he, like, it, like is in the hospital. And like, no, she died. Like, he died. And like, she saw me, like, moonwalking in the kitchen, like, having, like, the best time. And like, she didn't know how to tell me. Mm-hmm. And like, that was just crazy. But like, my mom, I'll never forget, she was like, well, like, we're like kind of like intertwined now because like he's gone and I was like born. So I kind of always think of that, like I'm like doing this for him kind of.
Yeah. Carry on the legacy. Like
let's
do it. You know, I was telling you guys, I don't know if you were here yet, but the Thriller video was playing at Yard House down in LA Live. And I just was like, oh my gosh, here comes the dance break. And I'm like, boom, boom, boom. Like all the steps. And there's just something about the legacy and him creating short films
and
instead of just
timeless.
It's timeless.
Like that's what, like you're saying, you're playing at Yard House still, and it's so entertaining. Like, it's just as entertaining.
Yeah, exactly. I literally was there with my Instagram like video and I was like, you guys, here's the dance break. Like like no one had seen the video before. Like, of course they have.
I like know all the counts and like the musicality.
Absolutely. I know all the lyrics, everything else. And Off the Wall is my favorite album. I love Off the Wall. Well, and that's what I love. I love that these artists they're great with their dancers. They treat their dancers well. Some of these artists still taking them on world tours. It's not cheap to go on a world tour.
No, it's, I mean.
Did you get the private plane?
Huh? I've flown on a couple.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do a big charter, like a big old, like, it's like you can get a regular size plane.
But
like,
it's just guys.
Ours. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, this stuff that I was like, I wanted to do as a kid, it's like all happening. And I'm like, oh my God. It's so, okay, click, 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 click. Take these mental pictures because it goes so quick.
Yes.
And, you know, it's like one tour happens and it's gone. You don't know if the next one's going to happen. Like, I didn't know I'd be doing 2 other tours after the first one. Like, it's just, it's all, each one is just exciting as the first because they're all new adventures and
they're all different. Yeah. Oh, the music you add on
exactly.
And everything else. So
for me, I love making it a new character. I'm like, what's the feeling of this album? Okay, this is what I'm going to be like, you know, for this tour. Like, it's so fun.
And how do you prep for a Super Bowl? Because that was kind of epic. Just like, I'm just going to jump off a building here.
That was like just the very intense rehearsals we did it for a month before, just like rehearsing every single day. And it's crazy because I was like, I'm good. Then we get to, where was it at that year? I even forget. I don't even know. All I know is that stage, wherever that stage was, I was. But all of a sudden you're doing these rehearsals and it's happening and then you're testing pyro and they're doing all these camera passes. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, no, it's the day of now. And okay, it's like first quarter. Okay, second quarter, we're gonna start lining you guys up. And then you're sitting there, and there's like 30 seconds of the clock, and it stops, and we're all ready to go. And you're like, oh my god, like. And then I'm like, okay, it kind of hits you at that moment.
The whole world is watching.
The entire world is watching, and it didn't even hit me then. I just was like, oh my god, we're about to do this, and I had to mentally tell myself, don't do it for the cameras, do it for the audience there, because like it felt like, you know, like a tour we were doing. I'm like, I can handle the amount of people live. I can't think about the people in that camera, or I'm gonna just. Mentally,
you have not to stay really focused.
Exactly. And so then it happens, and then literally it just happens like that. And I'm like, I'm blacked out. I come back and I'm like, oh my God, it happened. And literally, I look at my phone, and my phone, I kid you not, and I am not that popular, but my phone was like, and I literally got back. It kept going until we got back to the hotel. And I literally had to like, I was like, I couldn't even look at it and process. I just kept
your
my
battery's
phone.
Draining.
And I was like, I still need to take in what just happened. I don't think I've come down from Earth yet. And I literally threw my phone on the bed. I was like, I can't deal with this right now.
You get the adrenaline too. Yeah. Like, you're almost in shock, I think, when it's such a big moment like that happens, because you're like, holy cow, not only was I in a stadium performing, friends who probably don't watch football, which would be me, but I, you know, Super Bowl, you're like, I'm here for the halftime show. I'm here for the Lady Gaga show at the Super Bowl.
And then literally all the random texts from people like from high school or elementary school be like, did I just see on my TV? Like I was like, oh my God, everybody sees this. And it was,
the class bully, you're like, see me now.
Actually, my 10-year anniversary is coming up.
That's right.
I'm like, a couple months.
That's so good.
But yeah, so I mean, that was incredible. And to be able to do it with an artist who I'd been with for so long and seen her, you know, not from the beginning, but from a very, you know, just work so hard, and to be awarded this opportunity and to know that she gave her all in this moment, and to be with a dancers, you know, we had, what, like 30 or 40 dancers, but to be with like, there's, you know, 10 of us that had been there for so long, to like be there all together made it even that much better.
It's sweeter.
Yeah, because I'm looking around and I'm looking at, and I'm just like, you guys, I'm like, we're here. Like, this is crazy. You know, we were just with her spreading this message, and we get to be on this huge platform spreading a message that we all get to believe in. You know, that doesn't always get to happen on the job. You know,
it certainly doesn't. It's such a treat. No. What has been your like biggest moment in, for you performance wise, where you're like, I can't believe I'm here?
Oh, when I performed with Mariah Carey at the Well, to start off, I performed with Mariah Carey.
Wait. Besides, let's drop in Chris Brown bomb. Let's drop Mariah Carey like, now.
Check. Yeah. I would like to brag about it.
No, you're allowed to brag here, because this is a
And it's not bragging. It's your career. It's what you worked hard for.
Do it.
So
we like this.
I worked with Mariah for the Christmas tree lighting in Rockefeller.
Ooh.
And then it was like 12 kids, I think. And then Debbie Allen was choreographing. And then she said that the next performance, you're going to pick four, and you're going to go to the White House, like, the next day.
Wait. Was Obama in office?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's super exciting.
Can you imagine? I was like, no, it was, like, last month.
I don't know. You know, that's a tough one. But I guess, like, when else are you going to – if you don't know if you're ever going to perform at the White House, do you go?
Yeah.
If you don't agree – I don't know. Like, that's
it was
a,
really
that's
– it was really cool.
The fifth, you know.
We were
– you got to think about
not
that.
Not going to answer that one.
What were we doing? We were rehearsing, and then, like, we were, like, asked, like, oh, are we going to meet Obama? And they're like, no, you're not going to meet him, blah, blah, blah. And we're, like, sad. So then we did the show, and it was just – it was really fun. And, like, I had a great time. I was, like, a cute little elf. Had, like, some, like, ears and, like, some rosy cheeks on. And we at the end of the dance, we're supposed to, like, hold a pose, right? And we're, like, holding it. And then I heard, like, the production off, like, the production manager say, like, okay, hold, the president's about to come out. And then we were all holding it. We were, like, on one knee, and we're holding it like this. And then we were all, like...
And then
Debbie was, like, get up. And then we, like, stood next to Mariah. And then Obama came out. And then we got to shake his hand.
With Michelle there as well, the first lady?
Yeah. I got to
That's
shake
pretty cool.
My friend's mom right? got a picture of me, I think I was looking at him like this. But it was crazy because if she didn't get that picture, because it wasn't on the actual, like, TV, it was, like, on, like, the live stream the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if she would have never got the picture, I would have never, like, had that moment. Yeah, so
cool.
I met Obama, you know, it's chill.
It's so big deal. Mariah Carey one day, Obama and Michelle the next. That's great.
Yeah.
You both mentioned Debbie Allen. Like, Ms. Allen is another one opening doors. Because, hello, executive producer, showrunner,
right?
No limits.
Yeah.
Owns a studio. They just had a big tribute to her last week.
They did?
Yes, at the Wallace Annenberg. She and Felicia Rashad, her sister.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, what has she meant to you working with Ms. Allen?
Oh, man. Oh, this is a funny story. It's not fun. Well, it's funny now. But I I auditioned for, what show? Oh, it was her show, Brothers of the Night.
Mm-hmm.
And I made it. And I actually turned it down because it was the same, like, rehearsals were the same day as my, like, going for lead counselor.
Oh.
So I, like, turned that down because I really wanted lead counselor. And I can't post, so then I did that. But then I was like, if I don't get lead, I'm gonna be so mm-hmm. like sad. But then I got lead counselor. But I've already worked with Debbie before, but she's really like, she knows what she wants, and like she gets her message across like super clear. Like you don't have to like be like, wait, I don't understand. Like,
right.
She's just the best. She really like changed my life.
Oh, I love that.
And Josh brought up something really cool that is a great fact, and I love that he's here because of it. He's a lead counselor. He was a lead counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I was talking before about the program, are you the only one?
I think I'm the only one.
He's the only one out of Pulse in all the years to actually do the full program, which is be a lead, you know, you go to Camp Pulse,
yep.
you become a counselor, he became a lead counselor, and then he went to Pulse, became a protege and a lead protege, and that's the full entire program. That is the full, you know, from what, age 8?
Yeah.
And that is the full program. So he is one of the only, he's the only
yeah.
that wow. has actually gone through that full program.
You're a pioneer.
Got to be alumni.
And that's kind of the design of the program, and we really want to integrate. I think over the years, it's been a little bit separate. There's been the Camp Pulse Room and the Pulse, and what we really want to start doing is integrating that and finding that connection from the young dancer into the young adult dancer into push them out into that professional world.
I love that. Well, and really making an impact, I think, too. Because I think there's so many opportunities in the dance world right now, and it can be difficult to navigate sometimes.
Yeah. And that's why I love our faculty, too, because they all are in different avenues. You have me, you have Nancy O'Mara. She's out working in Miami right now with some artists getting a tour together. His name's Cheyenne. Gil's working with Janet Jackson. You have Katie Tate, who is working with Nappy Tabs right now. She is literally, all of a sudden, she like texts me and she goes, I'm going to New York. I'm doing this. Like,
if she's working with Nappy Tabs, exactly. She's all
so
over
she's
the
doing,
place.
So she's doing 500 jobs right now, basically. So she's flying all over the place.
I know. I tried to interview them for something, I think for their Disney special that they mm-hmm. did at Christmas. And they were like, we have time. We're at the airport for like an hour. And I'm like, okay, we'll just do that over the phone. And
exactly. So Katie's running around doing amazing stuff. Dean Lee is from London. Mm-hmm. And he is totally, you know, over in London killing it. So he has a great expertise over there. So, you know, because what if dancers want to go outside the U.S. and do
That's
work?
Right.
There's other work out there.
I don't think there's one dancer that doesn't want to, like, go out. Like, no one's trying to stay in the United States. Like,
and then there's so many opportunities. Canada has a lot of dance opportunities as well. So
then we have Lane, New York, Broadway, acting down. He's always working on a Nickelodeon show, now a Netflix
Josh,
show.
Josh, do you sing at all? I'm just asking.
Yes,
you do.
Yeah.
Very
I did one good. Of I did one of his Lane's musicals.
I love that.
I did
that.
One of those
See?
Back
See,
in the day.
This is good. Triple
Hiring
threats.
Within the family. Yeah.
I love that.
And then we have Matt Stefanina, who obviously, you know, and Ian Eastwood, both, you know, from like a YouTube, like, you know, social media, like such expertise. And everyone, you know, Galen Hooks. Like we, you know, it's great because we get to bring in all these people and they all have different expertises.
Yes. And I love that everyone's really sort of passionate about the art of it. I mean, I had Ian here, as I mentioned to you guys earlier, and I was like, he can talk about like the art of dance and what he wants to do as an artist, not for fame, not for money. He literally is like, I'm here to propel just the dance industry.
I love it.
Yeah, and I was like, obviously that's a big philosophy for you guys at the Pulse.
Yeah, and we all really are so invested. You know, like, we had a rough start this season, and I think everyone's always still talking about it, and they're probably like, well, you know, where's it going? Where's it, you know, is it going to happen? And basically, you know, it is it's a whole new Pulse.
Yeah.
It's a whole new thing, and we are here. We have a new season coming up. We have dates coming out, pulsedanceexperience.com.
And you've got the final,
and we have the
right?
summer event.
Yes, in Vegas.
In Vegas, the best place ever.
Yay. I love it.
Yeah, and that's a cool opportunity because that's where all the proteges and the lead counselors, or the counselors that we chose throughout the season, all through different cities in the U.S., come together. They all come. This is like the big finale, and there's an interview process. There's two auditions, and that's when we find our lead proteges and our lead counselors.
The two auditions. That was crazy.
Uh-huh. And it's emotional.
It's always been one audition, and then they're like, you know what? We're just going to add progressions this year, and I was like,
"Yeah,
because like, no. like,
if we want them to be versatile, we gotta see more than one, you know, moment. We want to see the progressions.
I
and
obviously
the
killed it because
you want to see the colors of the personality, the colors of the dancer.
And sometimes there's, you know, I would say some people aren't the best auditioners, so maybe it's not about the one time. Maybe it's, you know, they're a great personality. Maybe they're not good auditions. So we're going to work on that this season. Mm-hmm. And we see the potential in them. So everyone has their strengths. And so the finale in Vegas, that's going to be an amazing event. Because it's like such a crazy week for them. There's so many rehearsals, so many different events like going on, so many different seminars. And it's like you're getting like little to no sleep, including the faculty. Like I saw my schedule a couple days ago and I was like,
okay.
I'm like, I need to schedule in sleep.
We have to learn like a new welcome piece to introduce or to open Pulse. And then we have to learn we do this gala and we have these intensives. And I think, I don't know if you're going to pick me for his piece, but it's Kevin.
No pressure now that we just did it on the podcast. I know, right?
It's Kevin.
Tune in and find out.
Kevin Dean and Kevin Dean and Matt. And we have to separate and be in one of those pieces. So we have to learn that. Then we have to learn our elite piece that we have to do for the final night. And then we have to learn his new finale. And we have to assist all the classes and be great and not mess up. And
if you're young, you can do this.
Exactly.
You're good. So, this is like one. Yeah.
Gotta show.
He's got his elite protege sweatshirt. I love it.
But basically, you know, we are here. We are committed. And the faculty, which is my favorite part, is everyone is so invested, 150%. No one's going in for the weekend and just being like, oh, well, I'm going to do my minimum amount of classes.
Yeah.
Nope. And I'm just going to phone it in. And because we know we're at a growing phase with Pulse. There was a setback that had to do with outside forces on the business end.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, you know, when it comes to artistic stuff, you know, sometimes, you know,
business, it's show business.
Exactly. And so we have a whole new setup with new faculty and everyone here is invested. And because we know we have to kill it every weekend.
So where can people find more information about the Pulse?
PulseDanceExperience.com.
I love it.
Yeah. And summer, we're having also a reveal too about our next season. There's going to be some mysterious, you know, things. So check out the social media
at Pulse Dance
Experience. I know everybody wants to know.
I don't know.
Just stay tuned. Exactly.
Well, you guys, we do have to wrap up, believe it or not. Yeah. But I know you will be on World of Dance Season 2. You, Josh. Yes, you.
Hey.
Remember, NBC premieres May 29th.
May 29th.
That's a Tuesday I will be covering, so I'm looking forward to that. Some great dancing from you and the rest of S-Rank. Where can everyone follow you on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook?
Instagram is at official Josh Price. That's all you really need to know.
Okay.
That's all I really go on.
That's just all that matters.
Or my MySpace is... No,
MySpace, Friendster, like all the old ones.
AOL.
AIM chat.
What about you, Kevin?
Kevin, what are you up to besides The Pulse?
Teaching, choreographing, working with new artists, a little artist development here and there, you know. Yeah, just trying to keep busy and also just do what fuels my passions.
And where can we find you on social media?
At KevinFR3Y.
I'm telling you, it needs to be your logo.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
I think you just need to embrace it.
I know. I'm trying to fight it.
Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Go with it. All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of To the Point with Kristen Burt. Next week, let's have a Kiki. Do you know what that means? I finally have the last contestant of season 14 on So You Think You Can Dance, wrapping up the entire cast before I start season 15. So come on and join us next week. And of course, all the latest dance news at dancenetwork.tv. Thanks to Popcorn Talk for hosting us. I'll see you all next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.